So I've always wondered where the line was in what Jessica would not say to an audience. I'm glad I was here to witness it. Just talking about Laura's liposuction apparently is okay, which was a really difficult time in her life. But don't ask an audience if they believe in God or not. Apparently that's over the line. That's crossing that line. Can't do that. So I feel privileged to witness that. So this is kind of a difficult story, but I'm going to get through it. So don't worry, I'll lead you through it. I'm here for you. There's this awesome YouTube video that you should definitely check out. Probably a lot of you have seen it because it touched off this great controversy. It's Tom Cruise talking to like internal Scientology people, and it wasn't intended to leak out, which was the controversy apparently. And he's saying things that don't really, he's saying English words, but they don't really make any sense if put together. He's saying things like, I feel a privilege, like I'm in ethics, so people are out ethics. I confront them, and I feel a privilege to do that, you know. This one guy said to me one time, are you an SP or have you met an SP? And I'm like, pah! Like, they don't make any sense. But I understand every word he said, and I understand everything he was saying. Because from the time I was 3 to the time I was 14, I was a Scientology kid. And I'm going to use some of this language, because I have to tell this story. I'm going to do my best to define it along the way. And being a Scientology kid is kind of a misnomer anyway, because they don't really have the concept of kids. We're millions and billions of year-old beings, right? So we pick up and drop bodies in their language. We're born and we die to give ourselves the experiences of that lifetime. So what that means is there's a lot of things, which first of all, it's very comforting to a kid to not have the concept of death as we might know it. It's kind of forever, which is very nice, but it also means there's some responsibilities and decisions and stuff that you're treated like an adult, and you have to make those decisions, and you can do adult things, you do these things. When I was a kid, I had these terrible, terrible headaches, just awful, maybe migraines, I don't know, because we didn't really go to doctors. And I wasn't allowed to take medicine, so I never took a pill for those headaches. I just had to deal with it. So I'm 9, and I tell these people that I have a headache and get into auditing. So I go into auditing. I'll get there. And so I sit at a table on one side, and the auditor sits on another side. And while my head is pounding, it's just this terrible, terrible pain. I get a barrage of questions about it. And the questions are kind of gibberish in this English language. You know, tell me about a time you have had a secret you shouldn't have had. Tell me, they're very paranoid too, by the way. Tell me, in case you haven't heard. Tell me about a time that you have done something you shouldn't have done. Tell me about a time you maybe talked to a suppressive person. Tell me about a time you've done this. And just this barrage of questions, which this is torturous to me while I'm while I have this pounding headache. And but then they just keep coming, to tell me about a time you've done this. And I know what they mean. Like I know what Tom Cruise is saying. It means you're sick and injured for one of two reasons, really. One reason is if you've done something horrible in the world or bad in the world, and you and the universe are bringing this on yourself as your own punishment, kind of their version of karma. Or you're talking to these very bad people, which they call suppressive people, and you are what they call PTS, a potential trouble source. That actually wasn't a joke. That's what they call it. So they're, those are the special bad people, or, not that this is really or, but special bad people are also people who used to be in the church and are no longer in the church. They don't like those people either, and you have to disconnect from those people. There's a policy of disconnection, which they deny, but it's there. You need to trust me on that. The barrage of questions, have you done this? Tell me about a time you've done that. There's a little hit on the e-meter. You might, oh, so there's an e-meter. I'm not making this up either. So the auditing takes place. I'm holding little cans that fit in my, metal cans that fit in my nine-year-old hands, and they're connected with alligator clips to these little wires that connect to this box filled with switches and a needle and kind of dials and stuff, which, by the way, is an awesome toy for a kid. This, it's really awesome. And so they play with this, just, and they claim really hard this is not a lie detector. This is not a lie detector, but I really noticed even at nine, they're using it a lot for this reason. They're liars. Turn that around. You take the key. So I, at nine, while my head is just pounding and pounding and pounding, and they're asking me these questions, tell me about this time, and I know it means why. And I have these again and again, which means I'm just this horrible person. Why am I this horrible person? And I relax my breathing, and I bury the pain. I bury the pain, and I hear voices and music in my head. And I use that to soothe myself. And I pretend to be happy for a moment, and I think of something, whatever it was. Yes, I probably thought about doing a bad thing to someone. Thought about being mean to my sister. I thought about whatever this is. Wow, my headache's gone. That's amazing. You guys are smart. I'm good. This, let's call this a win. And I bury this pain, and I never tell them again when I have a headache. And so I just keep burying this pain. And this is actually a pretty good coping mechanism for a while. But you have to keep it up, including further that year, I was out screwing around doing flips on the lawn, and I broke my foot, and I don't tell anybody. And I, until very recently, never told anybody. And so I learned to bury the pain, which is hard when you have to walk on it. You learn to read a lot, take that up as a hobby, just here. And I just don't tell anybody. And I only, like, I'm pretty sure I broke it, but I never got an x-ray or something, right? But so it's, so for the better part of a year, I just learned to walk slowly and bury the pain. And this coping mechanism is pretty good. But later, when I am 11, my parents divorce. And so I'm pretty good at burying pain at this point, so I can get through this okay. So it's fine until my father stops coming. And he just doesn't come anymore. And so they now talk about him, the Scientology people talk about him as he's now a suppressive person. And I know what they're saying, just like I know what Tom Cruise is saying. And they never directly tell me I need to make a decision, but I know what they're saying with 100 different pieces of communication, like, we would never tell you to not see your father, but we're worried about you. We're worried about your health. We're worried about you. And I know, and now you know what they're saying. They are saying, if I see my father, I will become sick and pain and a bad person and can continue to just degenerate. And I really wish this was the point in my story where I make a stand and lose my faith. But it's not. I choose, when I'm 11, to estrange myself from my father. And I bury the pain. And several years later, my mother and father stopped going. Without really an explanation, just, I mean, things were getting weird at the church as opposed to what they were before. Weirder. Things weren't going well. And they stopped going. They didn't really stop believing all the things. But I get to take my first Advil, which is a wonderful piece of human genius. They make a pill that makes a headache go away. And man, that first Advil was just so wonderful, making the headache go away. I'm chasing that dragon for a long time. Man. But I don't really reestablish a relationship with my father. This is all still buried, right? And I carry this guilt. And I carried this guilt until very recently, like 25 years of this guilt. It's buried. I see him around every once in a while, but it's awkward conversations, you know, and not really a reestablishment. And I just, every once in a while, and for the past 25 years, I try to have this conversation with him, right? Of this, I did this thing and I'm sorry. And of course, he brushes it off. He's like, it's not your fault. You're a kid and you were there. It was your belief system. It's never really been a good conversation to have. A lot of hard time forgiving these people, very hard time forgiving myself for it. It's just, you know, bury the pain. So recently, I decided to have this out, to reconnect with my father for this. He recently had his cancerous prostate removed. So I went to see him to make sure it was okay. He's remarkably good. He was able to be up and around a little bit, and I talked with him. It was different this time, though. I wouldn't let myself bury the pain. I lived in the pain. It was wonderful. I just told him that I'm sorry. And I miss him. And I love him. And he accepted it. And he told me stories about when I was a kid and he let himself be hurt and said he knew what I was going through. It was his belief system for a while, too, and he understood. And so we sat and we cried a lot. And we laughed a lot. And I feel like this was my stand. I realized I didn't need to confront these people and have it out. I just needed to let them go. And be okay. Because we're okay. So I really feel like this weekend with my dad was finding some faith. And faith in myself, and faith in him, and faith in the survivability of the human spirit, and unconditional love, which we have.